Satra Podcast Conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling a really big question, one that pretty much shapes every strategic decision out there, you know, from boardrooms to, well, ballot boxes. How is global power really shifting?
That is a huge topic. And yeah, to get our heads around it, we're diving into one of the most influential books on this from the last, generation or so. Fareed Zakaria's The Post-American World.
Exactly. It's a book that really asks us to maybe throw out that old narrative of, you know, decline.
Right. And embrace something new, a multipolar reality.
Because when you hear people talk about global power today, the default, it often feels like fear, doesn't it? Is the U.S. losing its edge? That kind of thing.
It does.
Because Zakaria offers something, well, much more nuanced.
Hmm.
And maybe even more optimistic, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today is to unpack his core insight that what we're seeing isn't really the decline of America, but the exhilarating, definitely complicated, but also expansive rise of the rest.
And that distinction is just vital, isn't it? Because if you see it as America losing,
yeah,
you lean towards, you know, zero-sum thinking. Protectionism.
Right. Build walls.
Exactly. But if you see it as a global success story, nations rising, new markets opening up, then the response has to be different. It's about adaptation, collaboration.
Finding new ways for the U.S. to lead.
Precisely. Identifying those new leadership roles. And to really get why Zakaria's argument hit home for so many people, you kind of have to look at the author himself.
His background, yeah.
He's almost the ideal guide for this. Born in Mumbai, India, educated at Yale, then Harvard got his PhD there in political science.
Now, people probably know him from CNN, your show GPS, or his column in the Washington Post.
Right. And what makes his perspective so valuable, I think, is that he embodies this globalized world he's describing.
Hmm. He has that intellectual foot in both camps, so to speak, the West and the emerging world.
Exactly. So he's not just looking at U.S. power from the inside out or the outside in. It's both. He has this deep familiarity with the global trends that are, well, challenging the old order.
Yeah, that makes sense. It avoids certain blind spots, maybe.
I think so. He understands how nations outside that traditional Western bubble view America's role, you know, their hopes, their concerns, their very pragmatic interests.
And he had already established himself as a pretty measured voice with books like The Future of Freedom.
Right.
Not someone prone to, like, sounding the alarm bells unnecessarily.
That's right. He's seen as credible, not alarmist, which gives his argument that this power shift is, you know, systemic, but not necessarily catastrophic, a lot more weight.
Okay, so let's dive into the core idea. The third great power shift. That sounds well, pretty huge. What are the first two shifts he's talking about?
He puts it in this grand historical context. First shift, the rise of the Western world. Think, starting around the 15th century, leading up to European dominance. Second shift, the rise of the United States, really cementing its role in the 19th and especially the 20th century.
Got it.
And Zakaria argues, we're now in the third big one, moving past that undisputed American era.
Into what he calls the post-American world.
Right.
So just to be clear, when he says post-American, he doesn't mean America's finished or collapsing.
No, not at all. It's crucial to get that. It's really a term about relationships, not about failure.
Mm-hmm.
It just describes a world where, yes, the U.S. is probably still the most powerful single country, but it's one of several really significant global players.
Yeah.
It's no longer the only architect, you know? It can't just dictate how the international system works anymore.
Or solve the big global problems all by itself.
Exactly. Unilateralism just doesn't work in the same way.
That really frames the book's purpose then. It's less about just describing history and more like a strategic guide.
I think that's a great way to put it. It's a direct call, really, to Americans, policymakers, sure, but also just regular citizens to make a pretty crucial shift, psychologically and strategically.
Moving the whole mindset from, dominance?
Yeah, from dominance to focusing on influence, on building consensus.
Okay, influence and consensus.
Yeah.
And the evidence for this shift, this rise of the rest, you said it's overwhelming.
It really is.
Yeah.
And Zakaria grounds it in data, not just opinion. We're not talking small changes here. We're seeing centuries-old economic patterns getting turned on their head.
Right. I mean, just think about it. China's incredible economic growth.
Phenomenal.
India becoming this huge hub for software and services.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil as a massive agricultural power.
Yeah, these aren't minor adjustments. For the first time in, like, centuries, the developing world's growth rates are consistently higher than the developed world's.
And that's not just about economics, right?
Right.
That growth translates into other things.
Absolutely. It translates into political confidence, cultural influence, a greater assertiveness on the world stage.
And one of the really fascinating points Zakaria makes here, it's about how modernization is kind of decoupling from westernization.
Yes, that's such a key insight. The old assumption, maybe from the Cold War era, was that if a country got richer, adopted Western tech, developed a middle class, it would inevitably become like the West, a liberal democracy.
Right. We sort of assumed that, didn't we? Like,
Well,
putting a McDonald's somewhere meant they were buying the whole package deal.
we did. And Zakaria shows us, oh, that was a big misread, a huge analytical mistake, really. Well, countries are adopting the tools of modernity technology, global finance, certain economic models, but they're fitting those tools into their own cultures, their own political structures, which aren't always Western.
So that explains things like, say, authoritarian capitalism in China.
Exactly. Or the rise of nationalism happening at the same time as countries integrate more into the global economy. They're becoming more modern, yes, but also, kind of paradoxically, more intensely themselves.
That distinction really helps when we look at the big players, especially the two Asian giants. Let's start with China. How does Zakaria see China?
He sees China less as an ideological enemy, like the old Soviet Union was, and more as a highly pragmatic, very self-interested stakeholder in the current global system.
A stakeholder, meaning they benefit from.
Yeah, massively. It's almost purely transactional for them. Their main focus is internal economic growth to keep things stable at home. So their foreign policy is mostly about securing resources, markets, energy, whatever they need for that internal goal. Yes, they challenge the US economically, but crucially, they operate within the existing global rules of trade and finance. They benefit from them.
Okay, so pragmatic stakeholder. How does that compare to India then? He calls India the democratic challenger.
Yeah, it's a great contrast. India's rise feels very different. It's more bottom up, it's often messy, chaotic.
Bureaucratic, maybe.
Definitely can be slowed down by bureaucracy, but Zakaria argues that messiness actually holds a kind of hidden strength. Long-term political legitimacy. Because it's democratic. Its success is driven by a really dynamic private sector, that huge English-speaking workforce, and importantly, shared democratic values, which inherently makes India, despite all the bumps in the road, a more natural long-term strategic partner for the US.
Interesting contrast. So, given all this, the rise of the rest, China as a stakeholder, India as a democratic challenger, what's Zakaria's advice for the U.S.? What's the prescription?
Well, he argues the fundamental problem for the U.S. isn't really weakness. It's not that America has lost its power militarily or economically necessarily.
So, what is the problem then?
It's more about a decline in its legitimacy, its authority on the global stage.
And that's due
He
to.
points largely to past mistakes, particularly around unilateralism, acting alone too often.
So it's not about raw power, but how it's perceived and used.
Exactly, that's the core of it. The US still holds immense advantages, but the key recommendation is strategic adaptation.
Adapting how?
The US needs to transition, move away from being the hegemon, the single boss who dictates everything, to becoming more of a global convener, someone who builds broad coalitions, brings different players together to tackle global problems.
But wait, doesn't that sound a bit like retreating? If the U.S. is still the strongest, why not just use that strength, especially military strength?
Because in this new world, Zakaria describes, sheer military might isn't actually that useful for solving today's biggest
Yeah,
problems.
climate change, you mean, or pandemic.
Exactly. Or cybersecurity, global financial crises, things that require coordinated action across many, many countries. Trying to dictate terms through force alone on those issues, Zakaria argues, just erodes your legitimacy further. And he says legitimacy is now the real currency of power.
Legitimacy is the currency. Interesting.
Yeah, so to actually have influence, America needs to be seen as a fair player, an honest broker, a convener.
That leads us nicely into the key themes, the big takeaways for you listening. Theme one seems to be this positive sum shift.
Yes, the big reframe we mentioned at the start. It's crucial. This is about others rising, not America falling.
So the pie gets bigger for everyone.
Exactly. The growth of the rest expands the whole global market. It pulls billions out of poverty. That creates huge opportunities for the US, new trade partners, new consumers. It's not a zero-sum fight over scraps. It's actually fundamentally an optimistic view of globalization's potential.
Okay, positive sum. Theme two, the diffusion and transformation of power. This sounds a bit more complex. Power isn't just spreading between countries.
Right. It's not just moving sideways, you know, horizontally from the U.S. to China, India, Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
It's also spreading vertically, downwards, you could say, to powerful non-state actors.
Like who? Big corporations.
Big multinational corporations, definitely. But also powerful NGOs, international organizations.
Yeah.
Their influence can be huge, sometimes even more than smaller countries.
Okay, I see. Like when a tech giant sets global standards for privacy or something.
Precisely. Or when global health organizations set the agenda for fighting diseases, that is power. And it means military strength alone isn't the deciding factor anymore. Economic clout, soft power, tech innovation wielded by both nations and these other actors are increasingly important.
Got it. And the third theme, America's enduring advantages. So despite all these changes, the U.S. still has unique strengths.
Absolutely. Zakaria is very clear on this. The U.S. still dominates in higher education, in scientific research.
In Jersey, yeah.
Its culture has this unique ability to attract and integrate talent from all over the world. And its political system, yeah, it's messy.
Definitely messy.
But it does have an inherent adaptability that many other systems lack.
So these internal strengths are the real ace up America's sleeve.
They really are. That's the core competitive edge. The challenge isn't a lack of strength. It's figuring out how to leverage those unique strengths within this new, more collaborative global system. Not using them to demand everyone follow, but using them to partner effectively.
Zakaria is really good at summing these things up in memorable ways. Let's touch on a few key quotes or ideas that really capture his points.
Yeah, he has some great lines. On the main thesis, it's hard to beat. This is not about the decline of America, but rather about the rise of everyone else.
Simple, direct, defines the whole thing.
It really does.
And what about that idea of modernization versus westernization?
Oh, yeah, that quote is powerful. As countries get richer and more powerful, they are not becoming more Western. They are becoming more modern and more intensely themselves.
More intensely themselves.
Yes.
That really sticks. It explains so much.
It does. And then the strategic advice for the U.S., that new role, in the 21st century, the currency of power is legitimacy.
Right, the currency of power.
The United States must move from being the world's hegemon to being its honest broker and convener. That's the core policy takeaway right there.
Okay, let's make this practical. How can we, you know, apply these ideas? What are the real life applications for business leaders, say?
Well, if power and growth are spreading out globally, the big lesson for business is pretty clear. That old Western-centric, one-size-fits-all approach, it's just not going to cut it anymore.
You need to adapt to local markets, local cultures.
Absolutely. And if legitimacy is the new currency, as Zakaria says, then things like cultural intelligence, ethical practices, really understanding those emerging markets become critical. Even if local rules are maybe looser, building that trust, that legitimacy.
That's your long-term stability.
Exactly. Especially in places with rising nationalism, that soft power matters hugely for market access.
And what about for us just as individuals, as citizens?
I think the big push is to cultivate a global mindset. Really try to move beyond seeing everything just through our own domestic lens.
So paying attention to what's happening in, say, Indonesia or Brazil isn't just for diplomats anymore.
Not at all. It's becoming a necessary skill for anyone who wants to be an informed citizen in this interconnected world. Understanding their unique paths matters.
And in terms of policy for voters, what's the message there?
It really comes back to domestic strength. Zakaria's argument suggests that the best way for America to compete and lead globally is to be strong internally.
So investing in things like education, research, infrastructure.
Precisely. That internal dynamism, that's America's greatest enduring asset. Keeping that strong makes the U.S. an attractive partner, a valuable convener on the world stage.
Okay, final thoughts.
Yeah.
What really stood out for you? For me, I think it was that core paradigm shift, realizing that these huge global changes aren't necessarily a sign of failure, but actually, in a way, a sign of success. They grew out of the very system, the stability and openness that the U.S. helped build after World War II. It's kind of an amazing legacy.
It is, but one that demands we adapt now.
Yeah. What about you? Your final takeaway?
For me, it's just hammering home that message of adaptation, not resistance. Clinging to the old ways, to the idea of sole dominance, well, that's probably the fastest route to becoming irrelevant.
Mm.
The future really seems to belong to those who get that the world is richer, more complex now, and who figure out how to use their unique strengths collaboratively within that new reality.
Adaptation is key. A powerful message to end on. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akantra Foundation.